This evening, we're discussing the subject of understanding spiritual things. Understanding spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12 and concluding the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12 and concluding the chapter. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words or in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Man cannot discover the truths of God by using man's wisdom. They are two things that are distinctly different and separate. That is, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. For instance, what we, by our natural flesh, think to be wisdom may be foolishness in the sight of God. For instance, the man who built his barns greater and said, I've made such a tremendous crop, I'm going to store all of these things in the barns that I've built, and then I'm going to say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Now, if you were to ask men, is it wise, every man thinking according to the wisdom of man would say that's a wise thing to do. Make good, solid investments. That's a wise thing to do, but God said, thou fool. Now, he had his priorities reversed. This man was thinking about the earth, and he was thinking about things of the earth and fleshly things to the total neglect of that which was spiritual. God says, think about things that are important according to the importance that I assign to them. Don't take your wisdom and place the wisdom or the values of man upon things. Take God's wisdom and place spiritual values upon things. When you try to compare the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, you'll notice that in verse 25 of chapter 1 that Paul wrote, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What he's saying is, when you try to compare the foolishness of man, the wisdom of man and the foolishness of God, they're not even things you can compare. Really, what he's saying is they're two different things, and they're not even things you can compare. It's like trying to compare a billy goat to a bass, to a fish. They're two different kinds of creatures, and you really don't have a lot to go on. And Paul said this is the way it is with God's wisdom and man's wisdom. But God has revealed himself to mankind, and man can understand God's revelation to mankind. In verses 6 and 7, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Then in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth out all things, yes, the deep things of God. men can understand the things of God. I've heard people read these verses of Scripture and say, now a lost man can't understand the Bible. That's foolishness. If a lost man can't understand the Bible, how can he be saved? The Bible is the revelation of God to man, and a lost man can take this Bible and he can read this Bible and he can understand the Bible and he can be saved. And then he can be able, by reading the Bible, to learn the true mode of baptism and to learn the other truths of God by reading the Bible. Don't tell me that a lost man can't understand the Bible. You have to understand the Bible in order to be saved. But it's not your wisdom that comprehends it. It is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that reveals your need of God as you read the Bible. And it is spirit to spirit and not spirit to flesh. The way God converses with us is not spirit to flesh, but spirit to spirit. It is always spirit to spirit or flesh to flesh. It is never flesh to spirit. In other words, we cannot worship God in the flesh. We can't in our flesh talk to God. And God in His Spirit can't talk to flesh. They're two different things altogether. But God in His Spirit can speak to our spirit because His Spirit stirs our spirit. And then we in our spirit can talk to God in His Spirit. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, even if you're trying to worship God in the spirit and it's not the truth, you still can't do it, because trying to worship God by speaking falsehoods, that locks the door also. There are two things that locks the ear of God, and they are flesh and lies. And you can't worship God in the spirit by talking about things that are not true. But but people say, well, I hear people say all things, and I know they're worshiping in the spirit because they're just saying the name of Jesus and talking about the Bible. Well, the fleshly man can do that. That's what I'm saying, that a fleshly man can use the Bible and read the Bible. Now, God has given us His spiritual knowledge that we may know the things of God. Paul said in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. What have we received? What had the Corinthians received? They had received, negative, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And I think he's talking about John 3:6, where the Bible tells us that we are born of the Spirit. He's talking about the initial reaction of man to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and he states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3:6. What does he mean? Now we have received not the spirit of the world. It wasn't the wisdom of the world and the spirit of the world that created in us this new man that caused us to be born into the family of God, but it was the Spirit of God. Every person born of the Spirit of God, however, is not spiritually minded. That is, they're not spiritually mature. There are people born of the Spirit of God who do not grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and therefore they remain spiritual infants. We can be saved and be spiritually immature. And if you want living proof of that, look at me. I can prove you can be saved and be spiritually immature. I think there's a lot of evidence in this congregation. We wouldn't have to go outside our own congregation to say, well, there was a time when I know I was saved, but I wasn't living for God. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't doing what was right. I was doing a lot of things that was wrong, and I wasn't reading the Bible, and I wasn't growing in grace. You were saved, but you were spiritually immature. Now notice, We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. This word know means to come into a certain sphere of the knower, or to come into a circle of vision. Now think about that. That we might, or that we may know the things of God that are freely given us of God. When we are born again, then we possess the spiritual ability of worshiping God and receiving the things of God. But we're not standing in the very center. We're simply standing on the outer edge of the circle. And as we grow in grace, then we come closer and closer to the center of the circle. Have you heard the expression, in the center of God's will? I think that might be a good expression, because we can be on the periphery of God's will, just barely in the vision of God's will. And by doing God's work and by doing what God wants us to do, we can come into the center of God's will. We are people who are born again, and we have spiritual ability to know the things that are freely given to us of God. They, by being born of the Spirit, were placed in a position to learn the great gifts that God had freely given them. However, they were ignorant of many of them. The church at Corinth, as I understand this verse of Scripture, they had been born again. They had been scripturally baptized, and they were not receiving instruction and had turned to a more sophisticated system for instruction. And therefore, they were ignorant of all the great gifts of grace that God had given to them. They were ignorant of the most wonderful gifts that God can give to mankind. The spiritual gifts. They were emphasizing the very weak and childish gifts, which were tongues and healing, and were ignoring the great gifts that God had given to the church: faith, hope, and love, which still remain in the church. Faith, hope, and love. Now, Paul taught spiritual truths. He says which things we also speak or teach. We're passing on to you God's revelation. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, that is, not according to what the wisdom of man would instruct us to say, but that wisdom which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit teaches us. Our wisdom is God's wisdom. We teach the same thing as the Spirit of God teaches. And this book is the result of God's Spirit. It is Spirit. Even the Bible says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are truth. Jesus said this. And any time that we're reading the Bible, we're reading the Spirit's book. It's the book that the Spirit gave to man through men, inspired by men, superintended by the Spirit of God, so that what they wrote was the absolute truth, the dependable truth, the truth of God. So it is the Spirit's truth. Paul said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The word compare simply means to place together and then judge. How are we going to judge whether something is spiritual or not? Well, you judge it with something that you already know is spiritual. How can you tell a diamond? By comparing it to another diamond. How can you tell if something is a particular color? By comparing it to another color that you already know to be that color. You compare things that you don't comprehend with things that you already comprehend. And this is all that Paul ever pleaded with the Jewish people to do. And that is to take the book of Isaiah and the Psalms and the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. He asked them, now take these prophecies and statements in the Old Testament and then take everything that Jesus did and compare the two, and you'll believe that Jesus is the Messiah and you'll receive him as the Lord's Christ. Compare what Jesus did with what the Bible says, and then you'll be a Christian. That's what Paul said. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And when you go into a church, or when you're listening to someone preach, when you're listening to someone teach, then don't compare them with Billy Graham. Don't compare them with Jimmy Swaggart. Don't compare me with Oral Roberts. Compare what I say with what God says. You know, there are people today who are comparing what James Robinson says with what Jimmy Swaggart says. And they're comparing what all of the other PTA, I believe that's Pray, Tithe, and Lie. I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't know what it stands for. But they're comparing, or pass the loot. That's what it is. Anyway, they compare, you know, that we don't need to, don't compare me with these people. Compare what I say with the Word of God. Compare what they say by the Word of God. Compare what everybody says by the Word of God. And then you'll know the truth. You know, it's a strange situation about preaching. About preaching the Word of God. Now, Stuart Ford is a third-year medical student. And I have a frugal nature. Sometimes when he comes in Sunday school, I say, I've got a terrible pain. You know what Stuart says? That's too bad. You know, I said, Stuart, it really hurts when I do this. You know what he says? Don't do that. That's all you ever get out of him. He's a third-year medical student. But a first-year seminary student can take this book and get up and just preach away. You ask him, what is the Trinity? He'll explain it to you. I mean, they say, well, it don't hurt, you know, for a preacher to preach things that are not true, but a doctor do things that are not right, you might die. Well, if a preacher preaches things that are not right, you go to hell. You know? I'm not saying everybody has to have a doctorate in order to preach, but, you know, we need to think about the fact that inexperienced and unlearned people might do some damage. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. The natural man would not, indeed could not, receive spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, what does Paul mean by the phrase natural man? I'm going to tell you. It means breathing, possessing animal life, swayed by the animal or life nature given. You know what Paul means by the natural man? He means the life that nature gave you. The life that nature gave you, as well as the depraved life that nature gave you. Nature gives you breathing life. And from your father, Adam, you received a depraved animal life. That's natural man. And that man, natural man, receiveth not the things of God. It doesn't stop there. This word receive there are about 9 words in the New Testament that are translated receive, but this word that's received here means to take to oneself what is presented or brought by another, to accept, to embrace hospitality. It implies a subjective reception showing that a decision of the will has taken place with respect to the object presented and that the acceptance of it manifests one's acceptance of the giver. Now, that's quite a definition, but think about it. The natural man, that is the life that nature gave you, will not accept the proffered, offered gifts of God. It will not offer. It will not accept what God offers. Now notice. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. When God offers the flesh, the life that nature gave, when God offers salvation through a crucified Savior to the flesh of a man, the man says, that's foolishness. Now, Paul even goes further to say, neither can he know them. For the nature, or the nature life, literally, man will not accept acknowledging his need, acknowledging the existence of God, acknowledging God's estimate of human flesh. Natural man won't receive that. Neither can he know them, that is, by flesh. Flesh cannot know spirit. Flesh converses with flesh. You believe that? Flesh converses with flesh. You know, when you see things that arouse, let me show you something. The Spirit of God never lusts after things that are sinful. That is, the Spirit of God that was in us, within me and you, when we're born again, it does not lust to sin. Not that Spirit of God within us. It is born of God, and it cannot sin, for his seed, that is God's seed, remaineth in him, and it, that is the seed of God, cannot sin. What is it that lusts? It's the flesh. What is it that covets? It's the flesh. What is it that's greedy? It's the flesh. If you want to know the sins of the flesh and how the flesh thinks, read of the work of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, lies, all these things are the works of the flesh. Flesh to flesh and spirit to spirit. The Bible tells us that they are spiritually discerned. It cannot be flesh to spirit. It cannot be spirit to flesh. It is flesh to flesh and spirit to spirit. But the spiritual man accepts spiritual things. Now, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The word spiritual means belonging to the Spirit, or under the influence of the Spirit, or proceeding from the Spirit. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The word judge means to discern. It means to pronounce final judgment. It is really an intensive word and means to investigate, to separate, and to divide, and then to compare and to judge. And how do we judge spiritual things? By spiritual things. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The man who is under the power of the Spirit, the man who is owned by the Spirit, the man who is born of the Spirit, he will dissect things and judge these dissected things by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and then he will decide, is this good or is it bad? And he'll not let the flesh make the decision for him. And that's the reason a lot of people go to certain churches, because the flesh makes the decision for them, not the Spirit of God. Yet he himself is judged of no man. And I believe that means, yet he, that is the spiritual man, is not judged spiritual or considered to be of spiritual value by those who look upon him. He is not considered spiritual. And you know what the world thinks spiritual is? Rock church. You ever seen that on television? I wouldn't recommend it. But I mean, it's people carry on. But you know, they sing good. I mean, you know, that there are things about certain church services that are just like listening to a jukebox in the bar. You know, the guy that's sitting at the bar with a glass of beer or whatever, and he's listening, to the music, and it's all about, maybe I shouldn't go into what it's all about, but somebody run away with this, and somebody stole that, and everybody's to blame, and it's real downbeat, and the guy's just sitting there just sopping up beer and sympathy and feeling sorry for himself, and a lot of the soap gospel, that's the way it is. There's the great bands behind the people, and there's the song. And I'm talking about God. That is talking about, real sort of catchy phrases and about, life and how hard things have been. We're climbing up the ladder rung by rung, and we'll slip back a little and climb a little, and, he'll understand and say, there is that gospel fleshly mood, and there is that fleshly mood that's in the world, and they directly correspond with one another. They are the same thing. Now, I'm not talking about when we hear music that is based on the Word of God, that brings us to repentance and tears. And I thank God there is music like that. And I think you ought to listen to music like that. And I think you ought to invest. I would ask you to invest if you're traveling. Get some good cassette music. Put a cassette in your car. Listen to good gospel music. But judge it by the Word of God. And don't let it just be a fleshly thing. Don't just be turned on by the flesh. But actually correspond with God in the Spirit. Worship God in spirit and in truth. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. No man can understand why a man guided by the Word of God does what he does. I think that's what Paul is saying. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That is, who is smarter than God so that he can give God lessons? And when I read that, I read it again, and I thought about it. Who is smarter than God so that he would actually believe himself capable of instructing God? And the word instruct means to unite or knit together, as to put together in reasoning, to demonstrate, to prove. In other words, here's someone whose mind is
greater than God and his mind to the extent that this man can actually demonstrate to God some things that God doesn't know. And who, as Paul says, hath known the mind of the Lord? And I thought of three or four names, but I didn't write them down. Let me tell you, you're one of them. If you know what God teaches and you won't do it, you think you know more than God does. You say, well, look, I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do it because I think this is better. You're really saying I have a mind superior to the mind of God. What else can we assume but that? So we have to conclude that there's many people in the world who think they're much smarter than God. And again, I'd call to your attention Job. You know, Job had all these terrible things happen to him, and he kept saying, I don't understand it. And he kept saying, if I could just get into God's presence, I could show God all of the foolish things that he does. He'll let wicked men prosper, and he'll take righteous people and let them suffer. If I could just get into God's presence, I could show God and demonstrate to God and prove to God just how silly he is about things like this. You know, if we were God, if we could really say, now we want to be vindicated that we are God's people, we'd say 3 days after you joined Southwest Church, your health would improve and everything about you would improve and you'd get $1 million. And you say, amen, brother, that's the kind of proof we need. We'd shut down the honky-tonks. We'd prove to people that it really pays to serve God, and we'd be in the biggest trouble we've ever been in. You know, we are not smarter than God. We never have been, we never will be. Even Adam, in all of his purity, was not smarter than God, but some way the devil convinced him that he thought he was. But Paul said, but we have the mind of Christ. That is, we're capable of receiving instruction from God. Paul wrote to the Philippians, but let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul had the mind of Christ, but many of the Corinthians did not. They had spiritual ability, but they had not exercised it.